Ahead and start another edition of the Bid Nerds. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Bid Nerds. My name is John Polnick, along with my partner Michael Deeb, coming to you from the Bay Area. I'm out of Las Vegas, Nevada, right on the Vegas Strip. That makes us the best live show on the Strip, because we're the only live show on the Strip. We'll take that credit. This is your daily nerd out on the most interesting cars and cars and bids and bring a trailer and sometimes other automotive auction sites. We're here to discuss cars, what they're worth, how much they're worth on the individual auction platform, and whether or not Michael Deeb and I know anything about cars. And clearly, sometimes we wonder. It is questionable. So thanks for joining us for this episode of Bid Nerds. We keep track of our predictions of the cars that we talk about on Bid Nerds. And the first thing we do on every episode is go over our previous day's predictions. But before we do that, Michael Deeb, how are you this morning? Good morning. I didn't even say good morning.
Good morning, JP. What's going on, man? I'm glad to be here. It's funny how you say we're the only live show on the Strip, because the parking lot across the street from your apartment building has a live show every day and every night.
It's true. One of these days we'll have to do a walk around the studio here in Las Vegas. Totally. We got one my window to my left over there. I'm pointing at Michael D, but that's not actually where he's at. Is the beautiful Las Vegas Strip. It's the Fremont Street experience and all the glitz and the glam and the lights and all that stuff. And then on our north window, it's North Vegas, which is not as nice. Man. We got the Zappos building, which is pretty cool, but you know, then you kind of start focusing your eyes and going, oh wow, that's really crappy down there. So but you know, that's Las Vegas. One block you're in the show, the next block you're in just degenerate land. There it is. There are a lot of inexpensive rooms in Las Vegas, so come and visit us and hang out and have a Fremont Street experience. Let's get to the cars from yesterday. Our predictions for cars yesterday, I think were pretty good, or at least mine were. You flip-flopped all over the place in order to manufacture an extra W, a badly needed one, clearly.
Seriously.
So what happened yesterday? Let's talk about yesterday's cars. What did we talk about yesterday, and how close were we on the bids?
Yeah. All right. Well, actually, we were spot on yesterday, but you clearly were having an advantage, and I think I sensed that at the end of the show. Mm. So right before we signed off, I did a Bid Nerd first, and I flipped my bid, correctly, I might add. But let's start with the.
We're going to have to consult the Bid Nerd's rule book hand log around here. I'll ask the producer if the producer can find the log somewhere around here. Where's the rule book?
Yeah, she loves me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she might be in your corner.
Nonplussed. Okay, so on cars and bids, we were looking at what essentially looked like a JDM, a right hand drive Honda CRX SI. This car had fair mileage, but was kind of crappy condition. To that end, I bid $7,200, and it was really fun to listen to you kind of shit all over this car and then choose the over, and you picked $7,500, and this damn thing brought $9,700 and sold with a steering wheel on the wrong side for this country. So that, I have to say, was really well sold.
You know, you got to wonder what a clean one of these is going to finally go for. And we haven't seen one. We've actually talked about CRXs in the past on the show. And the day a really unmolested, low-mileage, clean one comes across one of these auction blocks is going to be a really cool day. And that's going to be something to see. This car was just a piece of crap.
I think it'll bring north of 30 grand if you see an ideal stock beat up and fobbed out.
What kind of mileage do you think the CRX has to have to achieve a 30 plus price? Do you think it's possible for one with 80,000 miles to get that? Or are we talking about four digit odometer?
I think 65 to 80,000 is right around that $25,000 to $30,000 mark.
Wow.
But if you get a sub 50,000 mile one that's all stock and still smells like that new cloth interior, I could see it bringing $36,000 to $40,000 easily. Yeah.
There was at Radwood 2 in LA, the one that was in LA. That one, there was one of those, just the classic kind of two-tone, the blue on gray, 84, so the first gen one, and that thing had 30,000 miles on it. It looked like it had 30 miles on it. I mean, it was hermetically sealed. It was like, and it was right next to our Dirt Fascination booth. And I remember just staring at that car all day. And that was just before this trend really started to get in gear. And I bet, you know, now I don't think it wasn't for sale, but my guess is, you know, just 3-4 years ago, you could have gotten something like that if you could find it for like, it'd be crazy someone paying 15 grand for something like that.
I think even back then somebody would have paid 20 grand for that car.
You think? Because, yeah, it's possible. Yeah, maybe. The right buyer, sure. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, okay. So I got that one right. What else did, and you got it wrong. Did I just throw that in?
I totally did. Okay, and I like that car. You didn't, and you still got that one right.
Well, you know, the thing is, I didn't like the car, and here's that's the thing about what we do on Bid Nerds. Yeah. We talk about the most interesting cars on Cars and Bids. Just because we pick the car doesn't mean it's a car we like, and it doesn't mean that there aren't stupid people out there. I said it. So, you know, a dumb person is going to buy this. Someone thinks this car is great, and they're an idiot. But
I like that car, and I wouldn't have paid more than $7,200 for it, and I was off by $2,500, man. It's crazy.
So, are we bidding what we would pay, or what we think the audience would, or the a buyer would pay? That's always the question. All right, what's the next car?
All right, so we looked at this 1985 Porsche 911 Carrera. Mm. Now, somebody took this 3.2 and bored it out to 3.4. And I imagine that motor is a monster. I love the color because it's the same color as my 84. This car is super nice. That being said, it didn't have a lot of bids. When we were looking at it, it was sitting on 9 bids. And Bring a Trailer has this way of, like, there's an audience for the car and the people like it, and they're all waiting to bid at the close of auction, which is incredible. Sometimes the car that has the least amount of bids is going to get the most amount of auction and action at the close of auction. And this is a perfect example of that. I would have easily thought this car was going to go to $50,000 if there were 25 bids on it, but there were only 9. So my initial
Here's the qualifying.
My initial bid was $38,000. And then you and I talked about it. I got all ethered up on how great a car it is. You bid $45,000, and then we moved
on. Well, not only did I bid $45,000, I only bid $45,000 because your bid was so low. You know, I didn't want the spread to be like $40,000. I said it would go over 50, but I'm like, I'll just go 45. And then you come in and change your bid and snake me at what? 40? What? What
Eight,
did you do?
48.
48. Jeez. Yeah. And go back and watch yesterday's episode. I said it would go much higher than my bid. I only bet the 45 to narrow the spread. Holy crap. I got screwed. I don't know if I don't know. I don't know about that one.
That whole exercise was to keep you honest, and now you'll have to bid much closer to your bids instead of to mine. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it worked, and that car, I enjoyed watching that auction because at the close of auction, it was right in between our two bids, and then it just kept creeping up and creeping up. It sold at $48,750.
Yeah.
Making me look
which
like
you know frankly was still a good deal. I still think that's a $50,000 plus car. I still think that thing is got north to go.
Stock motor and black interior, that's a $60,000 car.
So you think the 3.4 modification lowers the value?
On the broad scale, yes. There are enough buyers out there on Bring a Trailer that you know, you can find the guy who would actually pay a premium for that motor, but he didn't have to fight against all the other people that would have loved it if it was stock.
So I that's interesting. I mean, I think you can glean that. You can certainly glean that from the data, right? There's the car. The car should have gone for more. How many miles did it have on it again? I forgot. I'm sorry.
90,000.
90,000. Yeah. Okay, so at 90,000 miles, if it had a stock engine, I don't think that's, you know, we're not talking about a collectible mileage there, right? If it was low mileage and the engine was changed, I see that as changing the value. But I see a higher mile car, not that 90 is really particular. particular high miles for that year and that model. But the car there at that, all I'm seeing at that point, not only am I seeing the larger displacement modification, but I'm also seeing a recent rebuild. And if in all other indications indicate that or would show that that's a plus, if you rebuild an air cooled engine at somewhere around 90,000 miles, which is about right, or usually a top end or whatever, that's going to increase the value. So, you know, I feel like something was off, even though that car was went for $48,000, even though it had kind of an ugly interior. I still feel like not only was that car worth 50 something, I feel like it was worth high 50s. I feel like and for some reason, something was weird about that. And I don't know.
I mean, just looking at the market, that I think that that car should have brought between $55,000 and $60,000, but the motor was changed, the color was weird, and it was in, I think, Yonkers, New York.
I think that's what hurt it. I don't think the engine changing hurt it at all. If anything, I think that helped it. The color is marginal one way or the other. I think where it was everything. Getting a car out of New York right now, you know, that's got to be it. If I had to guess, all right,
pain in the ass. All right, well, let's zip through the other ones. We looked at a Canadian 996, a 2001 911 Carrera with the really, really cool aero package, including the wheels. This basically looks like the unobtainium
taco bumper
996.1 GT3 look. This car had reasonable mileage. I can't remember, JP, but I think it was like 70,000 miles or something. Yeah. Anyways, I bid 26.5, which is a solid bid. You bid $25,000. You got the undercut, and that car only made it to 24,500 for your second win of the day. Should have been your third.
Hey,
and
did then, you notice? Hold on a second. I know we got to get through this, but did you notice what's in this guy's garage? There's something over here. I can't quite tell what it is.
That's an
air-cooled, 993. Right? Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of cool. So this person is clearly a Porsche guy. All right.
Clearly a Porsche guy. Not obviously. And I love little. I tell you, JP, I'm such the voyeur. When we look at pictures, I'm always checking out what people have in their garage. And all
what's on the background?
It's hilarious to get that like free peek.
Here's the thing, right? When you see an ad for something like someone selling some wheels or something, and they put something on the ground, and they're obviously like this with their camera, and they take a picture. If I can see your feet, I'm not buying your shit. There it is, and I know I'm not alone on that. Don't put your feet in your goddamn ad for whatever you're taking a picture of that's on the floor. So that's just a little extra, you know, value from the bid nerds. There it is. Moving on.
The Bible, according to bid nerds, that's one of the Ten Commandments. We'll have to print that later.
Thou shall not have your feet in the goddamn ad. Did I just swear? Sorry.
Okay. staying on Bring a Trailer, but coming back to the United States, we saw a modified 74 Plymouth Cuda. I still think this car looked badass, and I'm not into the resto mod thing at all, but the stance on this car is correct. The yellow, the little deck lid spoiler in the front air dam, this thing does look kind of beefy, but you and I still poke fun at the car. We were all over it. I guessed 32, you guessed 31, and that got $30,750 and sold. Good luck to the next owner. I don't think you'll ever get that number again. And then finally, we wrapped up with a 2009 Porsche Cayenne. Look at it. Bring that
Cayenne GTS.
The GTS. Yeah, I forgot to write GTS on my notes. Okay, so it was on Cars and Bids. 100,000 mile car. I think it was at a Texas JP. I said 18,000. You said 18,001, and it came in under us. That car only made it to 16,500 and sold. I know there's plenty of these out there, and that number makes sense, but I still think that's a lot of car for the money. So I'm going to say well bought. Good luck to the new owner. Prepare for the money you saved. You can spend it in high maintenance costs. Good luck.
Yeah. I don't think that car even got another bid after our show. I think we talked whoever was thinking of buying it off the ledge.
Smart of us.
Because we kind of, you know, and I only bid a dollar over because thinking that maybe it would go another couple $100, and I should have went under. I had a sense that it was going to stall out there, which does not bode well for my Cayenne that's coming up on Cars and Bids next week. But mine is a manual, so be looking for that one.
All right. Yours is going to do well.
Okay. All right. Well, we got a whole new batch of cars for today. today. Do you want to get into that? Let's start talking about the cars that are coming up. Now, these are cars that you can buy today. For those of you who are watching, we're going to have the links to these auto auctions in the information below. So you can kind of follow along with us and, you know, tell us what you think these cars are going to bid at. We, at some point, we're going to start giving away prizes for people that, that do better than us at this, predictions of bids, which is going to mean we're going to give out a lot of prizes. There it is. What's our star car for the day? If you saw the thumbnail, you probably saw this car. What is it?
Yeah, I think this is like a Jackie Chan special because, you know, Jackie Chan did like 100 movies where he always drove the coolest cars out of Japan. Yeah. We're looking at a United States registered, I think in Massachusetts, a 1992 Mitsubishi Lancer Evo 1 GSR with apparently or allegedly just 50,000 miles, registered out of Columbus, Ohio. This is a right-hand drive, I think a JDM, a Japanese domestic market car only. This employs a 2-liter turbo, 5-speed manual, all-wheel drive. I'm guessing this car probably weighs about 2,600 pounds. And believe it or not, JP, this little sucker pumps out 244 horsepower and 228 pound foot of torque out of that little tiny 2-liter hamster farm in there under the hood. This car has all the integrity of a box of tissue. I guarantee you, if you want to do any kind of road racing on this, you would need strut tower brace, rear strut tower brace, new sway bars and everything. It looks like it's sitting on 15-inch wheels, and the gap between the tires on the tops of the fenders is painfully high. I think it needs coilovers and some 17-inch wheels. But, man, you just never, ever see this car in the United States, so it's really cool. I would say that its competitor, the Subaru, the 22B, that was probably around the same era, those cars have just a little bit slightly greater following in the United States. And if you had an authentic JDM 22B, I'm guessing that car would bring like 45, 50,000 in the US. And yet this car with 50,000 miles and on a US title is sitting at $11,000 on 7 bids. I think this car should be worth a lot more money, and it's not. So what do you think? You know anything about these cars?
Yeah, I mean, not a whole, I mean, yes, but it's the start of the boy racer. I mean, it's, you know, Fast and the kind of ticked off because Furious wasn't out yet. I mean, it's what started all this stuff. You know, the idea, I appreciate that this car exists. You know, I say that a lot about certain kinds of cars, and usually right after that, I dump all over them. But this one, I'm not gonna. I mean, I appreciate, not only do I appreciate that this car exists, I appreciate what this car did for the world of enthusiasm. I mean, there before this car, you know, kids with Hondas and Volkswagens would buy cars and tack a bunch of stuff on them to make them into little race cars.
Yeah.
This is kind of the first car where the factory said, don't worry about it. We'll go down to Shucks. We'll go down to O'Reilly's and get all that stuff for you and bolt it on in the factory and then deliver it to you. So, you know, these cars really did look like, I mean, it looked like a regular Mitsubishi Lancer that you could get at any Mitsubishi store for, you know, what was the retail value of one of these back in 1992? $7,000, you know, for a regular Lancer?
A regular Lancer, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, all this car looks like is somebody put a cheap wing on it and, you know, maybe if you can even call that an aero kit, the rocker, you know, and then some vents on the hood, which looks like what everyone was doing to their Civics, you know? Yet, under the hood, was real power. This car really, really does perform. And that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, think of NASCAR and it's like, you know, Ford and Chevy and Dodge, they race, win on Sunday and sell on Monday. You know, these cars are homologation specials so that Mitsubishi and Subaru could take on Volkswagen and whoever else and go World Rally Racing. And so all of the parts on this car were to be homologated. The reason why the wing sticks up that high off the back deck lid is so that the race car can have that much air going underneath their wing on the race team's car. So they homologated all these parts and made these special cars, and we, the consumers and the public, are the beneficiaries because cars are awesome. And they evolved something really incredible. You know, the Evo 10 is actually a hell of a car.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and Mitsubishi in this era was really going for it. I mean, Mitsubishi in the 90s was really, really, really genuinely trying to beat Honda, Nissan, and Toyota. And they were, you know, Mitsubishi is one of the biggest manufacturers in the world. They're not the biggest car manufacturer in the world, but they're one of the biggest. They are one of the biggest companies in the world. So they really, if anybody could do it, they could. And it just... Yeah. I think the problem was, and even though these cars definitely got a following, I think ultimately they just weren't special looking enough. And if Mitsubishi had made a small, compact, two-door, something like an MR2 with this powertrain, they could have gotten a little bit more traction. But, this was the era of SUVs, and they really didn't put anything into their SUVs, and that's, I think, how they lost the battle.
It is a bummer that they didn't have the cojones to bring this car to the United States. I imagine it still would have been received well. Again, the value for money would have been incredible. But anyway,
they didn't bring this car, but the next generation one they did just a few years later. So they were a little late to the game, but I think the reason why they brought it is because the hype of this one was getting around. And they just thought that, okay, this would translate in America, and it just didn't. Even the second generation one with all the whiz bang stuff on it, it just, you know, Subaru already kind of had that world, and I think they should have just come up with something a little bit more special, but whatever.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So this car is sitting at 11,500 on 8 bids. I'm going to change my bid and raise it. I still think that this car is going to find an audience. It should bring 25,000-30,000 just for what it is, but I think it's on the wrong platform. I think this is a huge mistake that such a rare and unusual car, basic unobtainium, is on Cars and Bids. But I still think it'll bring $18,000.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So like you said earlier, Bring a Trailer gets a lot of late action on most of their auctions, whereas Cars and Bids can just kind of like lumber around. Usually there's some late stuff, but not nearly as much as BAT. Eight bids, 11.5 obscure right hand drive car. That's just, that is just such a narrow, narrow market. And I don't know if the JDM kids are here. And I think if they are, they spent all the money on that stupid CRX yesterday. that's the only person that wanted this car, and they're out. They're spent. So I'm gonna say, and this is a guess, I mean, 14 grand, and that is not, you know, like you, that is not indicative. What was your bid? Yours was 15. What?
18.
Oh, 18. So 14.
I started at 15, and I moved it up to 18. So
I'm gonna say 14. Yeah, I just don't think it's gonna get there.
This car's gotta find an audience. It's just too rare. Somebody knows
it's worth more. Don't think it's gonna get there on Cars and Bids. That's the issue.
True. Okay, let's jump over to Bring a Trailer and a car that. A sort of style or an era of car that you and I have only sort of recently kind of peered our eyes at. We're looking at a 1963 Cadillac Eldorado Biarritz. The Eldorado Biarritz in 63 only came as a convertible. These were driven by a massive, a big small block, I think, is a 390 cubic inch V8. What's incredible, JP, is even in 1963, Cadillac was a huge brand in those days and kind of the standard of luxury around the world. This car had a power top and electric windows and electric door locks, stuff that nobody had in those days. this car looks like it's been completely redone and done to a pretty high standard. And I think, JP, you and I are both going to be surprised at how much money this car is destined to bring, or at least what they're basically worth. So sitting on, let's read it to you, sitting on about 25 bids, this car is around $24,000 with about 4 hours still to go. And this car is coming to us, JP, out of Chatsworth, California, which I assume is Southern California because I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I mean, is this, as we constantly say, is this the right platform for this car? I mean, this is definitely going to be an older guy audience. Is this something that's much better suited at Barrett Jackson or some, you know, one of those?
I agree. I think, yeah, absolutely, he'd get more money. But that's the beauty of these platforms, JP, is although there's a long wait to get your car into or onto Bring a Trailer, it's not seasonal. You can you could sell your car right after the new year if you like, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so I would love to, I mean, this would be a great car to have on the strip in Las Vegas. There are a lot of places that you could have a really good time with this car. I mean, it's a party. I mean, nowadays that you can't leave your house in a lot of places, this is basically an apartment on wheels. You could have your mobile party right there.
Totally.
And get some sunshine. I mean, look at all this room. And that big old engine, the thing's going to get out of its way very quickly. You know, it's a, what do they call them? It's a magic carpet ride, right? I mean, it's just, you're not going to go around any corners. You're just going straight and swooshing down the road. Look at that brochure. How awesome is that? Look at that guy in the brochure. He's fencing.
So cool.
Do you think there's anyone, any modern fencer that wants this car? I mean, I don't think that if you go down to the fencing studio that there's going to be any Eldorados in the parking lot. I just I question that. No, I mean, this is a really neat car. What is it worth? I mean, the value of these is certainly plummeting from what they used to be, not just 5 years and 10 years ago, certainly. Certainly a really cool car. I mean, if you want to do the whole fear and loathing in Las Vegas, here you go. You got a bid on this thing?
I'm just, it's a shot in the dark, JP. So it was at 24,500. I was thinking last night that this might have a pretty big surge, but it might be tapped out. I'm going to say $35,000.
Okay. All
right. And it sells at that price for sure.
Well, that's a long way to go from 25, basically. I was thinking somewhere in the 30 range, give or take a couple of grand. So I'll just say 31. Breaks 30, I'm going to be kind of surprised here. I just don't think this is the audience for it. And I don't think there's a huge market for these at the moment. It's certainly the wrong time of year too, but,
right.
Bring this thing back in spring and let's talk again, but, good luck to whoever gets this car. It looks like a lot of fun.
There you go. All right, and now we're going to bring a trailer and jump over to JP's favorite car of all time, 2000 BMW Z8. This is a one-owner car. It looks to be in very nice condition, black with the almost Porsche Can-Can red, bright red leather interior. These had a 4-liter V8 that BMW employed for the M5. It makes 400 horsepower and I think like 380 pound-foot of torque. It's a great drivetrain. These early cars only came with a 6-speed manual. They made a later version called an Alpina that it had an automatic. But these cars have always brought well over their original asking price. I think these cars were like $130,000 brand new, and they have regularly been in the $150,000 to $250,000 range almost their entire existence. What's interesting about this car, JP, is it has been sitting on three bids for a couple of days at $162,000. Earlier this morning, somebody bid $1,000 more. So it's on four bids at $163,000. And the audience on Bring a Trailer is wondering if this car had previously been used as a luxury rental. And of course, it'd be very difficult to quantify that if it wasn't branded onto the title. So I'm wondering if the BAT community is sensing something fishy here and talking a potential buyer out of paying big money for what is essentially kind of a low mile example, right? This car has just 17,000 miles out of Bethesda, Maryland. It's certainly the right colorway. It's not a ton of miles, but it's not collector miles. So, it's hard to read this one because there's a lot going on here. And I know you have you feel like the BMW Z8 is kind of played out as they've had this little renaissance in the last year and a lot of them have come to market.
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly seeing everyone that's had one of these sitting in a garage somewhere is going, oh, okay, let's tell you, it looks like it's time to sell it because they've definitely, peaked. The Z8 is one of those weird cars that, and the thing is, I'll first say for the record, it's one of my favorite cars of all time. I mean, I love the Z8 and this stunning black on red color combo. I don't know if I've ever actually seen one this color. I mean, always see the silver ones. You see some other red ones and stuff like that, but
Bid Nerd's dear friend Jeff Harley is a black exterior, red leather interior, like his favorite. Anything that's black and red, it has the Jeff Harley package. This has the Jeff Harley package. And Jeff Harley just texted into the show to let us know that that has a 4.9 liter V8 because I had read my notes correctly. So there you go.
Very nice. Yeah, no, I mean, that car is just absolutely gorgeous. Here's the thing. It's interesting. It's quite a few years old. What year is this? This is a 2000, right? So you look at the last 20 years where car values have gone up and down, right? You had kind of you had your, when this car was new, you had kind of normal depreciation for most cars. And then, of course, by 2008, you had the big economic crash, which made the values of everything plummet. And then it, everything just kind of languished there for a very long time. And then slowly in the aughts, we had this kind of crazy climb up to some pretty unbelievable numbers. I remember, you know, in, I want to say 2016, my friend selling, not Bill Gates, but the other guy, the other Microsoft guy. No, the one that just died, doesn't matter. Anyways, he sold one of the big Microsoft guys, car, and, you know, they got $150,000 for it, and they were like, oh my God, that's crazy. But the thing is the thing about, you know, that what I'm, the reason why I'm bringing up this kind of weird, you know, depreciation curve for most cars is that the Z8 suffered the least out of almost any car I can think of. These were never, ever cheap by any standard, you know, like 911s and SL500 is probably the best example because that was the contemporary car that was, that it was going after. And a Mercedes SL500, you know, 2003 had that really cool whiz bang look to it. And everybody wanted those and they were about the same price. Actually, the Z8 was a little less. But you know, the SL, you can get an SL500, from 2003 or four right now for under $10,000 in very good condition. If it had this few miles, if it were, you know, 17 or 18,000 miles, the most money you're going to get for a 2003 SL500 on the, for the nicest one there is $19,000, right? Whereas this car is sitting at 163 grand and it's probably going to climb, you know, so the Z8 sits in a really special place, and the fact that it's a manual and it has that powertrain and it has that look and it's everything the Z3 should have been and the hype around that car was. So this car is just magnificent.
Yeah. I mean, these cars were like largely hand built. They're built in limited production numbers and they were absolutely designed from inception to be great driving cars, which by all accounts they are. I have not had the pleasure of driving one, and I would, JP, I mean, I would love to own a Z8, but it's out of the question. There's so much money. They're not track cars, but man, on the, you know, the, on the crest, that'd be a blast to drive.
Well, there you go. I mean, at almost $200,000, there are so many other cars on the list that check boxes. So you really have to be not just an enthusiast to have this car, but a very wealthy enthusiast. Not because it's just expensive. It's just because it's not going to be the first car on your list. It's one thing to buy a $200,000 car. I mean, you know, that's pretty attainable for most guys our age. I mean, it's not, it's really expensive, but it is a, like, if you really want one of these, you could probably go get one. Right. But it's not going to be the car that most guys are like, okay, I'm going to really stretch myself to get the car I've always wanted. This isn't the one. You're going to get the GT3 RS, or you're going to get the, you know, there's like 10 other cars that you get before this. So you have to be an exceptionally wealthy collector or enthusiast because it's the car that gets added to the collection. Love this thing. What do you think it's going to get bid to?
And that's what I'm saying, man. There's some weird stuff going on in the comments on this car, JP. It's really hard to get a handle on this. You know,
that's one of the downsides of the, of these communities, is that you get some weird people on saying weird stuff. And, you know, whether or not this car, whatever is being said on in the peanut gallery sometimes can be really annoying. And it's downright slanderous sometimes. I mean, this is just...
It is.
You want to just go through... I wish there were moderators that would just like slash and burn these jerks. I mean, you're a jerk if you're doing this. If you're saying anything that's unquantified... If you're like, I think this was, or maybe, or whatever... Dude, shut up. If you know, if you got proof, hey, here's an ad for this car, here's the VIN number, it was a rental car... Okay, but anything else is conjecture, and you should be kicked off the platform, and I think this is bad form for anybody that mentions anything like that.
I agree. I think this car, JP, should be worth around $200,000. That being said, I just don't think it's going to bring it, so I'm going to take $11,000 off my bid and go $189,000, and it should sell at that price. If it doesn't, the owner's an idiot, because... Look, the market is down. I think you should take the money and run. But anyways, $189,000 is my bid.
All right. I think it finds another 20 from where it's at. So I'm going to go 183.
All right. There you go.
But I'm with you. I think it's going to stall. And I don't, regardless of the peanut gallery, I think that, that number, anything in the $180,000 range for something like this is about right. Unless it's like delivery mileage. If this thing had, you know, a couple hundred miles on it or something like that, then I would say, 200 or maybe a little above, but. This is about $180,000 something is about right.
So let's juxtapose this car against an example similar to what you're talking about. And you were comparing this just a minute ago to like a 2003 SL. This is a 2005 Mercedes-Benz SL with just 13,000 miles. So very similar miles. It's 5 years younger. By all accounts, it's just as powerful. But they made these cars in massive quantities. Yep. And the philosophy with Mercedes-Benz is completely opposite of BMW. These are the cars of luxury and stature. As such, everything's automatic. You're isolated from all of the road noise and the feeling of the suspension and the tires. The steering is not direct. This is the exact opposite philosophy and directive for the engineers to design a two-seat roadster. And to that end, here's a car with less miles and 5 years younger, and it's sitting at $25,000 on 13 bids out of, let me read this to you, JP, excuse me one second, Colleyville, Texas.
And it looks like a Texas car.
It totally, right? And it looks, I mean, it's just, it's such the country club car. It's got 3.5 hours to go and it's at $25,000. And I mean, that's, JP, you're right. That's like all the money for that thing.
You know, I am shocked it's even that high. This car has no business being this high. I mean, especially with this color combo. I mean, if it were black on black or silver on black or something like that, but this red with the bisque, it's all beige with the wood interior. I mean, that is just so ugly. Now look, I'll admit, my wife had one of these and, you know, we loved it. It is a great road trip car, and this car is definitely belongs in Texas because that's all you got is straight lines. It's effortless power. It's super smooth. Everything works wonderfully. And it was Honda reliable. As far as people really talk about, you know, how expensive and difficult it can be to maintain a Mercedes. And when they get higher mileage, they are. There's something called the ABC. It's an air ride. It's a, you know, kind of like a air ride bladder system, airbag system for the air ride. That was formulated from the F1 team that they kind of translated that into the car. Works fantastic. I mean, it's active body roll control, and for as heavy as this car, you throw it into a corner and stuff like that, it's not a handling car, but it, I mean, for all its weight, you're like, okay, you can actually have some fun in the corners with this thing.
That hood doesn't lean. Yeah, the Mercedes, the 500 SLs, even the earlier ones from the late 90s, that previous gen, they're shockingly good sports cars without being like, you know, extreme sports cars. They're not 911, but man, they're way better than you'd ever think they were. And you try to do the same thing in a Lexus and man, you'll go right off the road.
Yeah. So, and that convertible top is a top designed by Mercedes that has been shared by a multitude of other manufacturers, including Ferrari. The Ferrari California model uses the exact same top, which is pretty cool.
That's so funny.
And people talk about, oh my gosh, I remember when these came out, it looked like a transformer, and everyone's like, oh, that's going to break. You know, it's going to be hell if that thing ever goes wrong. And so, and let me tell you, they don't. They are.
Yeah.
So unbelievably well built. They never ever break. I have a friend that had one and he accidentally left a soda can on it. And so the top stays flat and it kind of goes back and then it kind of rolls down. And then the clamshell tried to, you know, squish down on top of it. And of course that broke things, but even that wasn't that bad. I mean, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, as long as you don't leave a beer, you know, if you're not leaving your banquet light on top of your power hard top, you're going to be all right. But yeah, this $25,000, I am shocked. And it's not even an AMG version. I mean, it's got the ugly chrome wheel, because they did make an AMG version. The one we had was AMG. Oh, so it had, you know, had the aero kit, had the cool wheels. It had the pano roof. I mean, keyless go back in 2003 or four. It had cooled seats. It had heated seats. I mean, it was like, holy cow.
Oh, all the bells and whistles, JP. Yeah. All the bells and whistles, for sure.
And we bought it for less than a third of what it was new, and it was only like 5 or 6, 7 years old or something like that. And we thought we were getting an amazing, like, oh my gosh, we're getting this $130,000 car for, you know, so much less. And now you look at it, they're worth even less than that, and it's just amazing. I mean, crazy. Can you imagine $130,000 and now you get a car that's on a good day.
Crazy depreciation, and yet you and I are saying nice things about the car, and we're scoffing at the idea that it's only worth 25 because the values are so bad and there's so many in the market. That being said, JP, I believe in this car. I think it's gotten good attention so far on the site. There doesn't seem to be bad comments. I'm going $30,000
in sales. That would be the most. I mean, I think if that happens, you're going to see a flood of these because there are a ton of old people that have these sitting in their garage somewhere and that aren't being driven. I mean, when we bought ours and it was, like I said, it was 5 or 6 years old or whatever, it only had 40,000 miles on it. And that was like, oh my God, it's super low miles. Where is this car coming out of?
Out of Texas.
It's out of Texas. Okay.
I mean, that's a good spot to get it. And again, JP, this car only has 13,000 miles on it. This is even by standards. I mean, they were talking a 15-year-old car with 13,000 miles. That's less than 1,000 miles a year. That's exceptionally low. You know?
I think it finds a couple more grand, but not much. I think it's going to stall out. I think it's going to be, I'll say 28 just to, you know, but maybe it finds a couple thousand, 3,000 more, but
All right.
There's just no way. There's no way this car could get 30 grand. If it was,
I can't wait to win this one. That'll be interesting. All right, good. Okay, so last car of the day. We're staying on Bring a Trailer. JP, you selected for us a 1983 Volkswagen Vanagon Westfalia. I have to admit, I don't know the answer to this question. In 83, the 2.2 liter flat four, is that an air-cooled car still?
That is a Wasserbox. So it is the water pumper.
It is a water pumper.
It is a water pumper. Yeah, the first couple of years were still air-cooled. Correct.
I suspected that we had graduated out of the air cooled by the time we get to this generation of the
Vanagon.
So this car, believe it or not, JP, out of Sacramento, California, this car has 400,000 miles on it. It's a rebuilt transmission. So they rebuilt the four-speed manual. They put a replacement.
Probably for the fifth time, I would imagine.
Yeah, they put a replacement 2.2 liter flat four. This car has very early 80s, late 70s, like brown exterior paint, beige interior paint. But this is a proper Vanagon Westfalia, which means it's got the awning and like a little kitchen and all this other crazy stuff that you can probably tell me more about this car than I do. But this one seems to have been driven, enjoyed, and used, and looks to be in decent upkeep for what it is. Despite the replacement parts, I imagine this car could be driven for another 200,000 miles because everything on it is very inexpensive to replace. So there you go. The pandemic vehicle, if ever there was one, you can enjoy, you know, a family staycation out in the forest out behind your house and not have to go far because you can camp in your new Volkswagen Vanagon Westfalia.
Hashtag van life right here. Yeah, I mean, this has got a lot of cool mods. That, you know, obviously, it's got the pop-top tent on the top, which is what the Westfalia is known for, and the little kitchenette. But they also have that additional kind of, like, pod that they've got coming off the sliding door on the right. This car does appear to be in very good shape for one of these this old. You know, I mean, a lot of times you see the appliances and they're just roached out and they're a little scary. It's like, do you really want to be in a van with a gas stove from 1983 that's got 400,000? And talk about relieving yourself on that little thing. That's, you know, hello. Look at that. They got the Volkswagen burners. They've added some big old steel bumpers on this thing, which looks weight to me, which concerns me because these have zero power. Even when they were brand new, the power in these was just, I mean, these, you're planning ahead, like to accelerate and stop and everything. They do none of those things well. They sure are fun and iconic and all the great things, you know, about the Westfalia you're going to get out of this one. It's certainly not a collector one, but with the popularity of RVs in today's world, this car is where it's at. I think it definitely has sky. It's not going to bring super, super huge money. You know, the fact that the engine has been replaced, great. You're going to get about 30,000 or 40,000 miles out of this one before you have to, at the very least, rebuild the heads. The aluminum blocks and the aluminum heads and the cast blocks on these.
Yeah,
the iron blocks. The, yeah, the iron, yeah, the, um, Oh, the head gaskets are just known for corroding. You have to use the right antifreeze on these, or you'll blow the head gaskets in like 5,000 miles. So it really there's like little stuff that you got to kind of know to own one of these. But hey, you know, you'll just it's amazing how well they cruise on the freeway at like 60.
Pretty, they're nice and smooth.
You got a bid for this car? You gonna buy this thing and move into it and come back to Vegas and just live down in our parking lot? In the parking lot on the north side of the building.
Esther would be up
you could
that
just park there.
Heartbeat. She wouldn't hesitate. She's probably in the car right now going, Bob.
Yeah, trade in that Mercedes. You know, I think we just lost Michael Deeb's audio, and he's going to have to. Yeah, Mike, you got no audio here. I think I heard your battery dying on your inverter anyway. So we're going to have to see. We're gonna go ahead. I mean, that's the end of the show. I'll give you my bid. I think this thing's going to hit $24,000. I think it could conceivably go up to $30,000. We'll have to see. Deeb, can you hear me? Nod up and down if you can hear me. Yeah, he's out. So we're going to go ahead and own the show. We'll see. We'll get his bid off air. We'll have him put his bid on the comments and see what he has to say. But, you know, hey, we still got a 40-minute show here that we've gotten kind of long anyway. So this has been another edition of Bid Nerds. You're the most interesting cars and cars and bids and bring a trailer. We've got one more episode for the week. This is so we'll see you tomorrow during the 9 o'clock hour. My name is John Polnick. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada on the Vegas Strip. Michael Deeb, join him and I tomorrow at around 9. He's coming to you from San Francisco, and we'll talk about even more cars on the most interesting cars and cars and bids and bring a trailer.